Parsha Tzav. Yitzhak Avena begins the Parsha with the Musar's thought, like he's done for many Parshios, quoting Rabbeinu Bechai from Mishlei. He quotes the Pasuk, Hoker raglacha mipeis re'acha, pen yisva'echa usne'acha. Visit your neighbor sparingly, lest he become satisfied with you and hate. This Pasuk teaches us that a person needs to make an effort to have friends. After all, it says you should have friends. It tells us to hold back from visiting those friends, though. So while having friends is a good thing, a person should only visit his friends sparingly from time to time so they don't get sick of him. Yitzhak Avena gives us two pieces of advice how to make lots of friends, and that is that we should try to have two character traits, two midos. The first mido that is needed is that a person has to be humble and not arrogant. Arrogance is really turns people off and makes people hate the person who's arrogant. When there's a self-absorbed person, everyone wants to run away from him. The second piece of advice is that a person shouldn't be afraid of other people, because if he's afraid of them, if he's nervous about the relationship, then he's going to come to flatter them. And flattery isn't building a real relationship. It's not building a real friendship. It's creating superficial relationships. Once a person is humble and has authentic relationships and great friends, he still needs to watch out not to overstay his welcome. A person should be careful not to visit his friends a lot or more than needed, so he doesn't become disgusting in their eyes. The Tzenarena brings a mashal that comes from the preceding pasuk in Mishlei. Honey is something that is delicious and very sweet. If we eat too much of it, it makes us sick. This is the rule for everything in the world. Things are good in moderation. If we have too much of everything, it goes from being healthy to bad. Here's another example. The most essential thing in this world is rain. It brings life to the world, and the whole world depends on it. Without rain, there's no food, and people die. Even so, if too much rain falls, it's a terrible thing. It causes floods, rot, and mold. Visiting a good friend too much is like too much rain. It changes the relationship from something healthy and life-giving to becoming disgusting and rotten. The Pasuk of Mishlei says, stay away from the house of your friends. This is talking about even your best friend. A person should not even visit their best friend too often. This applies even more so to an acquaintance who is just an average friend. You definitely shouldn't visit them too much, etc. Rena warns, especially during the time when he's eating or drinking, sleeping, working, or doing business. At these times, we should for sure not interfere, because relationships need boundaries and every person needs privacy. Yitzhak Avena now connects his Musar back to our Parsha. He says that just like you shouldn't visit a friend too often, you shouldn't visit the Beis HaMikdash too often. He immediately questions the statement. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Avavo ve'sachav olos, I will come to your house of karbanos. So should we want to come to the Beis HaMikdash or not? Should we try to come frequently or not? The Karban Ola was brought for inappropriate thoughts. So if we're coming to the Beis HaMikdash a lot, it means that we're sitting a lot, which is not a great thing. So the Pasuk from Mishlei is saying, don't come too often to the Beis HaMikdash with the Karban Ola all the time, because this shows that you have a lot of bad thoughts. If you want to come to the Beis HaMikdash to bring karbanos just because you want to bring a gift, that's great. It's wonderful. But just to continually bring olos for the sins of thought, that means that you're coming to the Beis HaMikdash with a carbon in a way that is not wanted by Hashem. And Hashem wouldn't be happy. A person needs to change when they bring a carbon for sins and not just do the same thing over and over again. They can't assume that the Beis HaMikdash will be there to fix it for them. Hashem doesn't want a person to sin so that he can bring a carbon with Chatas or Asham. So don't sin in order to have the carbon. We can relate this to other relationships. Some relationships are built on needing to be saved, on being needy. This is not ideal. We should always do what's right and have a relationship from a place of wholeness rather than a place of lack. Yitzhak Avena now transitions to explaining more about the Karban Ola. He explains that in general, a person who has improper thoughts at night will need to bring a Karban Ola. Therefore, the Torah gives a command to Aaron and his sons that the Ola should be put on the Mizbeach all night, because it's coming to atone for the bad thoughts that a person thinks at night. Another fact about the Karban Ola is that it has a higher status than all the other karbanos. For this reason, the Karban Ola, the Kohanim, don't get to eat any part of this karban. For other karbanos, the Kohen gets to eat the meat. In contrast with the Karban Ola is completely burnt in the Mizbeach, and the Kohen gets none of it. The Ola is there to atone for the sin of thought, which is a sin that doesn't really involve the body. So Hashem doesn't want anybody's physical body getting physical pleasure and enjoyment from this carbon, so it is burned up entirely. Vincent Ravenna now introduces another principle related to the Olos and Karbanos. A person must be ready to humble himself and not become too proud, to serve Hashem with prayer and by doing mitzvot. It's better that he should compromise on his own honor before compromising on the honor of Hashem. An example of this is in our parsha. The Kohanim serving in the Mishkan wore very important clothing, very distinguished clothing, because they were doing the important work of Hashem. And they wore these clothes even when they were taking off the ashes from the Mizbeach, or they were taking out the trash, so to speak. This teaches us that when a person prays or does a mitzvah, he should dress nicely and make sure that he's very clean. Even though it's inconvenient and less comfortable, he should make himself less comfortable for the honor of Hashem. Chazal say someone who gives honor to Hashem will end up receiving honor, and someone who lessens the honor of Hashem, God forbid, will be punished. The Tzen Ravenna brings a story from Chazal to illustrate this point. There was once a man named Yisachar ben Broka, who was the Kohen Gadol. He was very exacting about his own honor, so much so that he would do the work on the Beis HaMikdash with silk gloves on his hands. The problem is that it's forbidden to do the work of the Beis HaMikdash with any clothes serving as a barrier to the work of being done. A Kohen must work barehanded. Wearing gloves was clearly done for his own fastidiousness and not Hashem's honor. Hashem punished him in the following way. One time, the king was debating the queen as to whether goat's or sheep's meat tastes better. The king said, goat is tastier, and the queen said, sheep is tastier. They said, who's going to decide for us which one is tastier? Who knows? Who would know the best? Everyone said that the Kohen Gadol should be the one to decide, because he's always so busy with sacrifices, and he knows sheep and goats very well, and a lot of animals constantly pass by him for karbanos, so he has the most experience to decide this question. So the king sent for Yisachar ben Broka, the Kohen Gadol, and asked him, which one is better and more tasty? Is it the sheep or the goat? So the Kohen Gadol raised his hand as if to dismiss the king's opinion, and he said, for sure sheep, what are you talking about? If you say that goats are better, then why do we bring the Karban Tamid, the daily sacrifice, from sheep in the morning and the evening? We would bring it from goats. We don't. We bring it from sheep. So obviously, sheep is better. The king says to him, you're right. You brought a good proof. But because you raised your hands in front of me as if to dismiss me, you didn't pay attention to the fact that you were standing in front of the king. When you stand in front of a king or nobility, you have to stand with fear and trepidation. Therefore, I'm giving command that your right hand should be cut off. The Kohen Gadol bribed someone and they cut off his left hand. This became known to the king that the Kohen Gadol had given bribery, and they cut off his right hand in addition to his left hand. Rabbi Yosef and Chazal say, Baruch Hashem, that this Kohen Gadol got his consequences in this world and not in the next world. There is something to learn from this story. One of the things we have to learn is how careful we need to be with respecting Hashem when we're doing the mitzvot. We need to be very honest with ourselves whether our behavior comes from trying to honor Hashem or actually doing it for our own honor. Let's get back to the parasha. So far we learned that the Ola is a nighttime carbon, and it's burnt entirely because of its status. The third thing we learned from the Ola is that there was a great miracle when carbonos were burnt. Carbonos are burnt on the Mizbeach, which is a large wooden structure covered in a thin layer of copper. The metal covering was as thick as a coin, not more. And the fire in the Mizbeach, as we said, burned day and night, and it never got extinguished. And yet, although the fire burned day and night, the wood underneath this metal covering never burned. There was continuous 24-hour-a-day heat, but it did not impact the Mizbeach. This shows us the miracle that Hashem was constantly involved with the Mishkan. The next thing we learn from the Karban Ola and Karbanos is that Hashem will punish the wicked in Gehenim, in hell, and that's why it says in the Pasuk that a fire should always burn in the Mizbeach, meaning that the fire of Gehenim will always burn the evil people, and they never wanted to bring Karbanos for their sins when they were alive, and so now they will need atonement in Gehenim, in hell. This punishment specifically applies to those who have arrogance, who are prideful, like the generation of the flood, who were very proud, and the men of Sodom also were very proud and egotistical, and they were all burned in fire. Let's get back to the Pasuk. The Parsha tells us that Moshe should command Aaron and his sons. In this week's Parsha, Aaron's name is mentioned before his sons. In last week's Parsha, it first says Aaron's sons, and then it mentions Aaron. And many times it's written just that the sons of Aaron. It doesn't even address Aaron at all. Why? The Tzen Ravenna tells us this is a punishment because Aaron made the Egel HaZahav, the golden calf. So when Moshe saw this, Moshe said to Hashem, you love his children, but you don't love their father? Is that possible? Hashem said, I'm going to put Aaron and then his sons in the Suze Parsha to show that I love both of them. And that's why the Parsha starts with Aaron listed first. I think it's also meant to inspire us to realize that through tshuva, we can repair any relationship with Hashem. The Tenemana continues explaining the next pasuk, the Zos Torah Ha'ula. This is a teaching about the Ula. This is interpreted as a drash homiletically to mean that the soul of a person gains through learning Torah and rises higher and higher. Zos, this neshama, Torah, that learns Torah, ha'olah, grows and becomes higher and higher. The Tzenarena then discusses the pasuk of Chol Minchas Kohen. Every mincha offering of the Kohen needs to be burnt entirely. Chazal say the language of the pasuk is important. It says a Kohen, but not a Kohina, a female Kohen. If a male Kohen brings a carbon, then you need to burn his carbon entirely. But if it's a woman, the daughter of a Kohen, and she brings this mincha, then people eat her sacrifice. This is similar to the interpretation of Chazal, where they learn from the words in the pasuk, B'nei Kohen, the sons of the Kohanim, the fact that it doesn't say B'nos Kohanim, the daughters of the Kohanim, when it comes to matters of Tanakhma, because there's a great difference between the male Kohanim and the female Kohanim. The reason is that women brought death to the world through Chava when she introduced Tuma, when she introduced death. So therefore, it is forbidden for the daughter of a Kohen to eat a lot of meat, which represents Kedusha and Tara from the Karbanos, and it's also forbidden for a Kohen to marry a divorced woman, but the wife of a Kohen, the daughter of a Kohen, is permitted to marry a man who has divorced his wife. The next lesson we learn is from the location of the Karbanos. The Karban Ola was slaughtered in the same place as the Karban Chatas, the Karban that was brought for clear, defined sins. The Pasuk teaches us that it is forbidden to embarrass anyone. Hashem didn't want to call attention to the people who were bringing the Karban Chatas, and so he lumped them together with the people who were bringing the Karban Ola. The Karban Ola was brought for sins done by thought, and sinful thoughts are not something that is fully in a person's control, so there's not much shame and embarrassment when acknowledging these sins. But for the Chatas, that comes with sins that sometimes you can guard against, so it's embarrassing. So because of this, Hashem commanded that the Chatas should be slaughtered in the same place that they're slaughtering the Ola, so no one would know who is slaughtering because of sinful thoughts and who is slaughtering because of a more serious sin. This is remarkable, because at the end of the day, we're talking about sinners. We're not talking about the holiest people in the entire congregation, but Hashem is still concerned about their shame, about how they would feel, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the people who bring karbanos and do tshuva. Back to the pasuk. The pasuk says, V'asher yizad dama, the blood is sprinkled. If they would sprinkle the blood of the chatas on any clothing when they start doing the service in the Mishkanim, when they sprinkle the blood of God on their clothing, they would need to wash this clothing in the outer courtyard of the basement of Dush. It still retained some of its level of holiness, even though it got outside of the carbon. If they cook meat for the carbon chatas in clay pots, the halacha is that they would need to break the pots in the courtyard of the basement of Dush. There was a big miracle that happened, that at the moment that they broke the vessels, the ground opened up and swallowed all the shards, so that the chatzar, the courtyard of the basement of Dush, would not be filled with garbage. If they cooked the meats in a metal vessel, they would need to kosher it by first cleaning it thoroughly and then by putting it in boiling water. Continuing in the parasha, the Tzenarena quotes Rabbeinu Bachai, who has a question on the pasuk. V'yom tzavaso es b'nei Yisrael, on the day that Hashem commanded b'nei Yisrael to bring their karbanos. Rabbeinu Bachai asks on this pasuk that Hashem commanded the Jewish people to bring karbanos. So then why does it say in the Navi that Hashem says, I never commanded your forefathers to bring karbanos, referring back to the Jews in the desert, when it's clear from our pesukim that he did? The answer gets to the heart of why we have karbanos. Hashem allows us to bring karbanos because he knows that no one is perfect. He created us not perfect. People sin and they need to atone for that. Hashem, in his great kindness, with all of his creations, will forgive sins when we bring karbanos. So a person shouldn't lose hope and they shouldn't be condemned to an afterlife in hell. Hashem did command us to bring karbanos and get atonement. So what did the Navi mean when he say that Hashem didn't tell us about karbanos? What he means is that Hashem didn't tell us to bring karbanos without doing tshuva. He didn't disconnect these two concepts, which is what we try. If there is no guilt and no change, and we don't listen to the words of Hashem moving forward, it's not something that Hashem really wants. He doesn't want to deal with that kind of person who's only looking for themselves to move forward. He's looking for a relationship. This is what David HaMelech means in Sehurim when he says, "Umin chalo chafatzta." Hashem doesn't want the carbon mincha. Hashem isn't interested and doesn't want sacrifice from someone who doesn't want to listen to him, because listening to Hashem is the prerequisite for any carbon. The Tzen Arena continues that the nations gathered by the opening of the tent, by the door, the entire Jewish people, and it was a huge miracle that it's hard to understand, because we know that there were 600,000 men between the ages of 20 and 60. There is no way that they could stand at the opening of the tent. How is this possible that one congregation could stand at one tent? Because it says that the congregation gathered by the door to their tents. So this is something that Moshe questions and was wondering about. And he said, "Hashem, master of the world, how is it possible that all of Israel be able to stand at the Mishkan entrance by the door? There, 600,000, and that's only from 20 to 60 and doesn't include the numbers above in blue." Hashem said to Moshe, "For me, this is not a big deal. It's not so wondrous to allow to change space. I created the heavens from a narrow thread. And if you remember back to Har Sinai, millions of Malachim were on Har Sinai, and Hashem also expanded Har Sinai to allow thousands of the Jewish people, all the Jewish people, to fit there. So how could there be place on the small mountain of Har Sinai? It was a miracle, and Hashem made a miracle, and Hashem stretched the length and width of Har Sinai until there was place for everyone to stand." Hashem continues, "This miracle I can also do at the entrance of the Mishkan, and I can expand the entrance of Mishkan until there is place for everyone to stand. This didn't just happen back then. We will merit Bezras Hashem to see when Mashiach comes and all the dead people come back to life from Adam Rishon until all the people who have recently passed away. We know they're all going to come and stand in Yerushalayim. How can Yerushalayim hold them all? The same miracle, the same thing that happened when Hashem widened and lengthened Har Sinai, and the Mishkan will happen in Yerushalayim so that there will be space for all the dead of the Jewish people, and Yerushalayim will accept it." In Parshas Tzav, we learned some very important lessons from the Karbanot and also about the miracles that took place in Mishkan. The Mishkan was a very special place. By serving Hashem properly, it had the potential to change us and reconnect us back to Hashem. But it's not a free-for-all. It's not that we can reconnect in whatever way we hope. There is a purpose to how we need to act. And we need to offer karbanos with the proper incense and with the honor to serve Hashem. This applies to all opportunities. We need to do that which Hashem wants in order to connect back to Him. This is the same for all our mitzvos and tefillos. We need to act like they did in the Mishkan. We need to dress with dignity and also do mitzvos to connect us to Hashem, not to just buy Hashem's favor to pay Him off. May we merit to see the miracles that Hashem promised in the times of the third Beis HaMikdash, Mimhera Bi'Ameinu. Have a good Shabbos.